Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Got Norwich City podcast. Welcome to the Lensbury in London, which is the very nice facility where Norwich City are basing themselves this week for their pre-season camp. I'm Connor Southwell, it's Paddy Dowitt, but more importantly, we're joined by Stefan van der Heyden to talk about what has been a pretty remarkable career in football and also, obviously, now being at Norwich City. But obviously, we've sat here, we're a few metres away from the training pitch. Talk us through the facilities because they look really impressive.
I like them very much, and we had a lot of camps before already, but this is like really cozy. Everything is like walking distance, and it's good to be together with a group for a week, especially for the camp is always like good for the new guys coming in to bond a little bit, and it's a really nice place.
What makes a good camp? What is the ingredients that you need to make it a success ahead of, obviously, a competitive season?
Well, as a football player, I think the most important thing is the pitches. They need to be good. And we have two rugby pitches, but they're really, like, soft, really good for the players. And then the other facilities we need is, like a gym, swimming pool, these things. So it's perfect.
I think we were saying, obviously, these camps, the players spend a lot of time with each other, you spend a lot of time with the players. So how important is it to kind of break that up and activities and kind of the non-football side as well, as much as what happens on the training pitch?
But the difference is, I think, that now you spend time together in the evening, because we spend a lot of time together in the normal week as well at the training centre in Norwich. But the difference is that now we are like 24 hours a day or together. So you have sometimes different talks than what you have in Norwich, and that's good.
And in terms of the pre-season so far as well, you've been out to Switzerland, you've obviously played training games, had a lot of training time. How do you kind of feel sat here today about how pre-season has gone? Has it gone to kind of the way that you hoped it would go?
I think they put in a lot of work, and that's key, I think, in the pre-season. I think we need to look ahead of the results. Of course, you want to win every game, but that's not the most important thing, I think, for the preseason. The focus should be to get everyone to a really good level, and the guys have been working really hard, so I think we can be satisfied.
Because obviously this is you and Philippe's first pre-season with this group, and it must be a very different dynamic from coming in, picking up a season that was a challenge. We know the backstory midway through last season. Does this period now allow you, Philippe, and all the coaching team to really not put in the principles, because I'm sure you spent the first 6 months doing that, but it freed from kind of, you're not in that game cycle, you're not in trying to win points mode. Is this really a crucial period now for any new season?
I think it is, and the difference is that you have simply more time, and the principles, it's not about just installing them, it's about making sure that you repeat them. And then for the new guys, it's all new. They need to get used to it, and don't forget that we also had a lot of injuries last year. So for the injured players who are coming back, it's also new. So, it's a good thing to have a lot of time together.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And how much excitement is there with you and Philippe about building on what happened last season? Because, us in the media, but the Norwich fans as well, from where you picked it up to where you left it was an unbelievable turnaround. It's credit to a lot of people, clearly, at the club. But you and Philippe maybe setting the direction of travel. Is there an excitement or an optimism that you can really carry on again and hopefully go on and have another good season?
I think we are both quite realistic. We know there's a lot of progression to be made because we have a very young group. and they did really well, but we are convinced that they can do a lot better. But you know, football is a special game, and there are other factors. So the only thing we can do and what we can control is to work hard, like I said, to install our principles and make sure that they are followed, and to make progression every day and to get the best out of everyone, and then we will see where we get.
Can I take you back to the start of joining Norwich? Because we've heard Philippe talk about it, and obviously there was, I think certainly in Belgium, but maybe wider as well, a little bit of surprise that it was Norwich that you chose. So when that phone call came to you and it was Norwich, what was kind of your thoughts going back to that time in November?
Honestly, I was also surprised. The first call I got from Philippe was that I'm going to talk to Norwich, but don't expect anything. I'm just going to talk to them. And then a few days later, he calls me back and said, the really good talks with the owners. And so then I felt already, he's interested. It was a good talk. And then you know how it goes in football. It's also about, I know the gaffer, and it's also about the feeling you have with the club and with the owners, and to see that there is something you can do, you can make better. And he simply had a good feeling. And you know, when you get a call and you look at the ranking and you say, okay, 23rd in the championship, is that the thing that we need to do now? But after all, I think we are both very happy here.
And I guess that speaks to the trust that you have in him, doesn't it? The fact that he picked the phone up and you were willing to go with him, and even though, you know, like you say, it was what a challenge that's going to be.
But I do trust him, but it's also the first club I go to after Rangers. We had some talks and he asked me to stay with him. So I knew that the club I would go to would be the club that Philippe chose. Before Norwich, it was different. I always went outside with other or different coaches every time. So it's the first time we really stayed together, and that will also be like this for the future.
Philippe's told us about the talks that he had and with ownership and how important they were. I mean, did you get involved with those at all, or was it just going with him?
I knew that he would make the choice, and of course he calls me and asks my opinion, but I trust him in that.
Well, I'm just on that, because obviously, you know, we'd love to keep you all afternoon, but I know you're a busy man, so just your coaching journey, like you said there, that you will go with him now wherever, but anybody who's looked at your coaching career, you have been quite an adventurer, I think it's safe to say. For me, I said to you as we were walking across here, that the spells in Jordan and the spells in India, I mean, just about wanting to take you all the way through your coaching career, but why did those appear? What was it about that, and what did you learn from that in terms of the coaching?
Well, I am an adventurer, I know. When I was a player, I always travelled a lot. So after the season, but okay, it's different now. Almost 30 years ago. But after the season, most players stayed at home or went for a week on holiday. I jumped on the plane with my missus and we went to Australia for 3-4 weeks or to Mexico or wherever. So I always liked traveling. And then, me and the gaffer, we worked together we started working together in Bruges, 2011. And I was in recruitment and part-time. And the other part for me was like individual training for the midfielders. And the gaffer was part-time under-21 coach and training the defenders. And when I was in recruitment, I had to go to a training camp of Bruges to look at a player who was on trial. What's his name again? Costa Rica. Training camp was in Spain, and the plan was that I would go there for a week, and then another scout would come to see the second week. But after 1 week, Philippe was assistant coach then, from Spanish coach Garrido. So after this week, they said, Steph, maybe it's better that you stay 2 weeks that you have a really good view of the player. And so I stayed for 2 weeks, and then we went back to Bruges, and then the gaffer asked me to become the second assistant. So I stopped in recruitment, and that's where I became assistant coach in Bruges. And we've worked together like 6 years. And then one moment, the gaffer decided to become head coach, and he went to Beveren, smaller team. The team where I grew up, I played there for 10 years, and then I made a transfer to Bruges. And he asked me to become his assistant for his first job, but I said no. not because of him, but I have like a love-hate relationship with Beveren. And it, because of the president, he said,
"That's a different point."
Have to talk. Yeah, okay, okay. But I decided not to do it, and so I had no agent. I was just waiting at home after Bruce to go somewhere else. Then I got a call from the coach to go to Macedonia. So that was my first job. I decided there to not work in Belgium anymore because I was like a little bit tired of it. After Bruges, we became champion, we won the cup. I was there as a player 5 years, so in Belgium, I knew Belgium, and I wanted to go abroad. So first thing was Macedonia. Then after Macedonia, another coach called me to go to Jordan, national team, so also different than a club. And then, yeah, after that, India, and then,
With those, particularly those experiences as well, you know, they aren't, you know, maybe we're a bit insular, but we look at football and we maybe see Europe and South America and they're the hotbeds. But what were those two coaching stages on your journey like? And did you come back from them as a better, more rounded coach for those experiences?
For sure. I think an experience abroad is good on all levels. It's really, you see things, you meet people, you see different cultures. The football is different, like India, for example. I went there and the league was 4 months. 4 months only because of the climate and the rain season and all this stuff. And so I went to a club who finished before last, like Norwich a little bit when we came in. And they said, okay, it's only 4 months. Unless you reach the playoffs, then it's one extra month. But they said, yeah, you will never do that. But we did. So it became 5 months. That's John Boy. Thanks, John Boy.
Yeah, we should explain for people who can't see. We've got a pink octopus that is appeared on
the camera.
Is there a particular story behind that?
I cannot tell.
Okay.
I'm going to tell that story.
We'll get that on for the next episode. We'll get a picture of it. Yeah.
So, India became 5 months. But when you go on holiday to India or Jordan, for example, it's special, but then to be in football there, it's even more special.
Yeah. Did that give you a sort of understanding to coach, like you say, you've been in Belgium all the time, expose you to different players, different personalities, different cultures? That must be really useful then when you came back to Europe and you're dealing with lots of different nationalities.
For sure, it's... You know, there's always surprises when you go somewhere. I remember I went to sign my contract in Jordan, and the coach, he called me and he said, do you want to become assistant coach of the national team? And okay, I went there, I see the contract, and it was assistant coach plus video analyst. I said, oh my God, because then you start, all names are in Arabic. You play against India, for example, there are 9 Sings in the team. So then you go on a camp to Iraq, where there is no internet, but you need to do a presentation about the opponent. So I think the biggest thing you learn is to adapt in all different situations. And it's also easier, like even here in Norwich, with a group with so many different nationalities, it's easier to understand. Also, young boys coming from abroad, first time in another country, alone in an apartment. It's not easy. And makes it easier, I think, to understand them and to help them.
Have you got any sort of crazy locations or stories that stand out when you think about sort of your time travelling and football and games, like you say, in some countries there, which I think very few people will ever go to?
Yeah, I think I have too many. It'll take too long. I remember, like, to give one example, I remember in India wanting to set up a passing and taking these mannequins. Yeah. So there were like six, like three whites on top, but I needed the red. So I take off the whites and I take the red. And there was one python living there, but it's a really big one.
Wow.
So yeah, that's
you don't want to mess with those.
There were monkeys on top of the crossbar when we started training. So yeah, it's special. But I like it.
And that's obviously football has given you that opportunity as well. So it must be a passion for the game as well that's driven that, as much as obviously, like you say, your love for travel to combine the
That's the thing that I realize also, that I like traveling, and when you can do all of this just because of a game that you love from when you were very little there, that's the most beautiful thing.
And what about your family and your wife as well when you're going off to these locations? Did she come with you? Did she have much to say about going to various locations? I can imagine it must have been quite a hard sell some of those places.
I think she's used to it. We have a really good relationship. We've been married for 35 years this summer. So, she met me before I was a professional player. So, yeah, I think she's used to it. And she comes with me wherever I go. She went with me to India but became really sick. She had to go home after 2 months. Food poisoning, was in hospital there, so also for her, she can also write the book. Yeah. But she also likes Norwich a lot, so yeah, and then our children are a little bit the same. My son plays football in the Faroe Islands. He went to play in Iceland, met a girl from the Faroes there, and is now living in the Faroe Islands for 6 years.
Wow.
And my daughter is in the Belgian Air Force. Organizing like air shows and these things, but she also likes to travel.
Wow. Yeah. It's in your family then, isn't it?
It is in the family, yeah. Yeah, it is.
I mean, it just brings me on to talking relationships there and your footballing relationship. You called him the gaffer there earlier, and you were very clear, you know, you'll from here on almost go wherever he goes. But what I'm surprised with, because you put me straight, I just looked at your paths and thought, well, you must have played together at Bruges, but that wasn't necessarily the case.
Everyone thinks that, but no, we never did.
Yeah, so you've kind of already mapped out how the relationship started in terms of coaching, but what the fact that you've got that longevity, you know, when you take a look at it, why do you work so well together? Is it your characters complement each other? Or
I think we
see
both,
the game in the same way. Or?
Yeah, a lot of times we do. We also have discussions, and I think that's a healthy thing. He knows that I will always be honest and back him, but I will always say my opinion also. And in the end, it's he who makes the decision. I think we share also the same values. We don't mind working hard. I think we are honest people, two of us, also two players. I know other coaches who like to play games or are not honest. I think the gaffer is always honest. And I think we also, so we both have children about the same age as the players group. That also helps, because for us, they are like more or less our children.
Yeah.
So we know when to be hard on them and when they need a hug. So yeah, I think it's about managing a group. Eh? I think as a manager these days, it's not like 30 years ago where you had like a dictator who was telling you, okay, now you do this and this. Now it's different, and I think the gaffer is really good at managing a group.
Yeah, and that evolution, I mean, it probably does stand to reason. You're not going to be the same player, person, coach that you were when you started out, but have you seen him adapt? Is that maybe one of his strengths, that he can, even with players now, the way you treat them is very different to back then?
I think the advantage he has is that when we started at Bruges, so you cannot compare Bruges now to where Bruges was in 2011. I went into recruitment and there was nothing, really nothing. So we had to start building a database. The president, he bought the club together with a few other guys, but there was no structure, nothing. So we had to build from the ground. And like the first years, we've been working with a lot of, I think with five different headquarters. And that also helps, like for the gaffer, you see different things and you pick some things from every coach. And then the last 3 years, we worked together with Michel Prudhomme. He was a really good coach. And I think he took quite some things from Michel, but like adapted it to his own style. And yeah, it works really, really well.
I remember now you talking there, Stefan. I think I asked him at some point in the back end of last season, had he had this grand career plan? And he said, no, he's just gone where he, like you said right at the outset, he had that good connection and good feeling. And, mm-hmm. and it wasn't, I need to be in this league, or because you look at it, and he's been in Belgium, he's been in France, he's been in Scotland, now England. And that almost suggests that he's very a very open-minded coach, and mm-hmm. he wants to experience different and be challenged in different environments as well.
I think he's a really a modern coach.
Yeah.
Like, and same for me. I never had a plan, and I think it's also difficult in football to plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even like we've been discussing now the past hour, the training for tomorrow. But you know, tomorrow you wake up and it will be different.
Yeah.
Some player will wake up and be sick or injured or whatever. So I think that's key now, to be able to adapt to different things.
What would you, without giving too much away about how he operates on a day-to-day basis, but what are his strengths, would you say, having observed him for so long at close quarters as a coach? What is he very good at?
I think first, like when we came in, to bring like a clear structure. Second, I would say to get everyone to a good physical level, because in modern football you need to be fit, and that's still a challenge now, to get everyone to a better level. And then I think he's really good at communicating not only with the players in an honest way, but in a clear way, and yeah, not only to the players but also. He can. That's, I think, a very big quality. He can switch in a few seconds to talking to Daniel, for example, and then going to a player, and then see the kit man, and doing interviews, because you know nowadays you need to think about what you say, because
he likes Paddy's questions.
He likes my questions. Yeah.
No, but I think for a lot of coaches, it's really difficult to. Yeah. You need to be careful what you say.
Yeah.
So he's really good at it.
Just unless you want to jump in, Colin, I'm just to move it on a little bit. You know what? Because you hear a lot that the Championship is a very unique league. You know, the amount of clubs, the relentless schedule. How did you and the gaffer find that in the first 6-7 months? Was it a bit of a culture shock and eye opener, or had you done your work and you knew what to expect?
I think after Scotland, it was not really a culture shock, because there we also had like Cup games and Europa League games, so we also had 3 games in a week. But it is a challenging league. It is difficult. The difficulty is to, well, not difficult, but it's a lot of work, and it's a challenge to keep everyone fit when you. Because that was also the case when we came in. Not everyone was fit. They got 2 days off, I think, and simply doesn't work. So like now, the day after the game, we train with the guys who didn't play, and to do that for a whole season is a challenge.
Yeah.
But it works.
That was going to be my point. You sort of said you've been all over the world, seen football all over the world. This league is so relentless, and you hear about. You know how tough it is, because, and a lot of that is because you don't get a lot of training time, you don't get a lot of time on the pitches with players. So is that something you've experienced before as a coach, and have you had to adapt because of that challenge?
But because of that, that makes camps like this even more crucial, to get this good base, to be able to play 3 games in a week. But yeah, for example, when I think of Bruges, it's the same. And you have these midweek games like Cup or Europa League, and then you also need to travel even more. So for us, it's not a big difference. I think for players, yeah, I think the championship is more physical. You have teams who just play the long ball and count on duels and these things. That's maybe a bit different from Europe, but for the rest, the schedule is similar.
How familiar were you with the championship? Is it a league you've watched before or experienced before in any way? No,
not at all.
No,
to be honest, not.
What about English football generally? Is that something that you've watched?
I think English football, a lot of people in Belgium follow because it's the biggest league. The championship, no.
And Norwich within that? Did you have any sort of prior knowledge of Norwich or what it was like?
A little bit, because there were some Belgian players who played here. So, of course, you know the names, but yeah, you didn't really follow them. I think you can also not see the games in Belgium championship.
Yeah. So did that make researching the squad? And so I know they sort of, you have databases.
But the good thing is you have analysts who do the job, and yeah, we also see games before we play them. So yeah, after a while, it's not that special. It's the same when you go to Scotland, for example. Or to India. There is even more difficult. Yeah.
And I mean, because that job immediately when you came in was come in, make an impact, improve results in the short term. How did you do that? Because it was obviously something that was very impressive. We've just spoken about the challenges of the league and the training time, particularly at that time of year when there's games around Christmas and whatnot. How did you go about creating that impact?
Well, it was clear that we had to get them to a better physical level. That was the first step. And that's something you cannot do in 1 or 2 weeks. So we knew that it would take time. And that was also the reason, I think, that we lost a few points in the beginning, like especially end of the game.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just bring in a clear structure with clear principles in possession and out of possession. We have visitors.
Yeah, we're getting invaded now by some ducks. We've had an octopus, we've had ducks. We've seen all of wildlife.
Everything's going on here.
Yeah. So we knew, Geffer knows he's done it before, so we knew if we would follow all these steps that it would lead to better results. And that doesn't mean that you're going to win every game, because there are other factors, but we try to control as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking there about what Philippe is good at, and you obviously as part of his team as well, coming in and making impacts. That feels like something you obviously did at Rangers as well, and I think Monaco to a similar extent. Mm-hmm. So is that something in particular that he has mastered in being able to do that? And I guess the challenge then is to keep it going, isn't it, and to retain that momentum.
It is, but I think what I said before, this clear communication, the clear structure, I think it helps a lot for especially for a young group, if you can get that in and then add like this physical part to get better physically, then you're on the right track.
Did you see a group that was kind of underperforming when you came in, and a bit short of confidence already? Because clearly the levels that they got to towards the back end of the season, did you see that within them when you walked in, or is that quite hard to do initially?
Of course we saw that, and I think it's human. We've also been playing when you are in a bad situation. It's not easy to get out. When you're physically struggling, you know it's difficult. And when you have a young group, it's also even more difficult, because normally you have the experienced players who can speak from the past, but as a young player and it's new, and you have high expectations, and then you are there, 23rd place. It's not easy, you know.
And I mean, you mentioned experienced players. Having someone like Kenny McLean in that dressing room, and you'll be aware of the Scottish mentality and all of that type of stuff. That must have been really good to have him to kind of lean on as well for those young players.
It's always good to have someone like Kenny, especially like to help on the pitch. I think you can coach from the sidelines, like the Gaffer is doing, but a lot of times when the stadium is full, it's difficult, so then Kenny can try to help on the pitch.
Have you experienced a captain like him before in terms of the way that he is on the pitch and off the pitch and with the young players?
Well, I think in Bruges we also had like players like him, but he's like, he's gold for the team, I think. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just moving it forward, I'm just interested in terms of you came in and we just talked about, you came in and you had to work with a new group of players, but how did the dynamic work with the coaching staff who were already here? You know, I'm thinking of Ryan, I'm thinking of Nick, there's one or two others who maybe moved on since. Was that quite an easy transition? Because you're obviously working very closely with fellow coaches as well. How did you find it? Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the advantages to have worked in outside of Belgium before. I think it went really smooth. I think also for them it was a big change, but they adapted well. And I think also for them it was good to have like clear structure, clear principles.
Yeah.
And as a coaching staff, it's important to speak the same language to the players. And when you do that, I think you're on the right track.
As you said earlier, Stefan, you know, you have this relationship with the gaffer where, you know, you can have your view and put your view across, but ultimately it's his decision. Is that the dynamic with the four of you, with the other coaches as well, that you can be quite robust in you know, those settings, but from that you get the sparks that, you know, try and ultimately you're all trying to do the same thing, drive the team forward, drive the club forward?
I think it is. We all have our say. We and the gaffer, I think, is even like stimulating it.
Yeah.
It's good to have discussion and to make each other better. We also encourage that for the players to help each other. And that's the same thing for the coaches. And in the end, okay, it's the gaffer who decides.
Yeah.
Were you aware of Ryan in particular? Because he'd been in Belgium, hadn't he?
He told us the story when we arrived. We didn't know.
No,
we didn't know. Lommel was in second division. And normally I would have known, but working outside of Belgium, I even didn't follow the Belgian league too well.
Has he got some Belgian in him now that he's been in there for a period?
Not too much. was not there long enough.
Sorry, Paddy.
No, just obviously, sort of, we're hearing these really good surroundings you've talked about. We spoke to Philippe after the Wimbledon game, and he's very happy with the camp you've got here and the facilities. And it feels like we're now looking forward, and the countdown's really underway now to the new season. And fans, clearly off the back of what you achieved last season, there's a lot of optimism. But you said at the start, you know, we have to be realistic and a lot of hard work ahead, and we have to continue to do the good things that you did last season as a group. Now you've seen the league, what do you think are the keys to get from where you finished last season to where we all hope this club are going to be, which is at the right end fighting to get into the Premier League? Where does it need to go on again, do you feel, this season?
I think, and the gaffer says that also a lot to the players, we need to look at it as a marathon, not as a sprint. So it's important where you are at the end of the season, not at the start, but you also know that it's important to have a good start. But I think we need to stay realistic and just try to work hard, get everyone fit. That will also be a big challenge. And I'm sure when everyone is fit, we will be in a good position at the end of the season.
And as a coach and as a coaching team, we've referenced it a few times in this chat, but there's a real young group of players and the ceiling with young players, if it can come together and they can grow and they feel that confidence, that's the exciting element. And that must be for a coach as well. You're working with players in a lot of cases who are at the very start of their careers and have shown a few things, and if they can really add those other elements, I'm sure there's plenty of examples you've worked with, you and Philippe, of players who've gone on to have really, really good careers.
I think that's the challenge as a coach for everyone, not only for the young players. You just want to try to make everyone better, even the experienced players, because for sure everyone can do better than he's doing right now. But of course, there will be some surprises with the young boys. I think we have a few interesting players that we don't know the ceiling yet.
Yeah.
I think some of them can make a really good career, but it's also key not to put too much pressure and just let them work and develop, and we will see where they will go.
Yeah. I mean, kind of spoken there, last couple of summers at this club there's been a lot of change. It feels this year it's been quite minimal. There haven't been too many arrivals and departures. How much of that has been deliberate and about kind of, like you said, building on what you've created already?
The thing is, when you look at the squad and how they did last year, if you bring someone in, he needs to be better than what you have. And that's always an exercise you make. Where do you think a player can go, what level can he reach. And it's also a financial thing, of course, that we don't decide that. So, but I think with this group, we can do something good.
I mean, having spoken about your time in recruitment, does that help you sort of have an understanding of the challenges that's within that? And from a coaching perspective as well, I guess when you talk about high ceilings, has that given you a new perspective on that aspect as well?
I think it helps a lot. And that's also a thing that the advantage we have, both me and the gaffer, that we did different jobs. I never became head coach. That's the only thing. For the rest, I think I did all different things in football. And the gaffer as well. We were joking like last week, like when the kit man is putting like this taping, me and the gaffer did that 10 years ago in Bruges, or longer ago. But we know what it takes to do that. And not only that, but also he's been under 21 coach. Then the recruitment thing, the individual training for midfielders, defenders. So he did a lot of different things, and I think that's a good backpack you have.
I mentioned it because you mentioned it there, but being a head coach, was that ever on your radar at all? Or
No.
Like you say, there's a lot of challenges that come to that role, isn't there?
Well, I think it's a choice you make when you start your career. I think the main thing for me is that I like to explore and see things. Like, I like to have a walk in Norwich, for example. And I know the gaffer, it's difficult for him to do things like that. When you are a head coach, you cannot. It's different. And we have days like today, for example. I go to bed like 10:30 and I fall asleep like this. And as a head coach, there's always someone calling. And I would not like that.
Yeah,
but it's a choice.
You've spoken to us, especially around this time of transfer windows. You can go very early hours watching videos.
You're
never off.
I know.
Never off. You know better than us, I just wanted to. You talked about when you do, on the occasions you do have a bit of off time, you like to get out and explore. What have you made of Norwich as a city, Norfolk as a county? Have you been able with your wife to go out and explore a little bit around? Have you found it?
A little bit, yes. We like Norwich very much. We live close to the center, city center, and we have a lot of walks to the city center. My wife compares it a little bit to Bruges, also very walkable, and like historic buildings and these things, so we like it. What we also liked is the seal colony, something special.
Horsey Gap.
We also like that. Been there a few times when my son was visiting, when my daughter was visiting. Things like that. I like nature, so there's a lot of things to do in Norwich. But we don't have a lot of time.
No.
That's the only thing. But okay.
Can I ask you about the fans as well? Because like you say, you've been all over the world. Carrow is always full. It's kind of got a reputation for being that. And we spoke at the start, you came in some difficult times. But they quickly got on board with what you and Philippe and the team were doing. So important, isn't it, to build that momentum that we've spoken about over the last sort of half an hour or so?
The fans are crucial in any club around the world. And I think it's important to get them with you. But it's also the same everywhere around the world. With results, they will support you. And when the results are really bad, then those are the moments that you really need them. But since we came in, they are amazing. And we will need them this season as well.
I was going to say, I mean, obviously, as we recorded yesterday, it was Wimbledon. There were 1,400 there for a pre-season friendly, which said it all, doesn't it?
It's amazing. It's amazing to see. Also, as a player or as a coach, it gives this extra energy that we need in some moments. So it's crucial. Yeah.
Well, I mean, just to round it off then, I mean, you spoke about it's a marathon this year. When you came in, it wasn't quite a sprint. There was a lot of the season to go, but it was about, as we spoke about, short-term impact. So how do you, I guess, approach that different challenge this season and head into what will be hopefully a very exciting one?
I hope so, and I'm sure it will be. Like we said before, it's completely different to come in during a season or to have this pre-season like we have now. You can control more things now. You can build from the start. And it doesn't start here. They also got a program before they came here, during the holidays. So I think we will have a really good base to start. And then, yeah, we will see what happens in, during the season.
Paddy, any more? All good?
Brilliant. Well, that's probably an apt time to end. Steph, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. No problem. Thank you all very much for watching and listening as well. We'll see you for the next one. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.